Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online. We're at kpcg.fm and have a live link at thetrumpet.com. This is Live by Every Word, and I'm Dwight Falk. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Sin has negative effects, and we see those effects in the world, and we do see it in our own lives at times. Whenever God's law is broken, the result is always negative. There are negative results. Let's take a look at a scripture to start today over in 1 John 3, and we're going to look at a few scriptures. So if you have a Bible handy, it'd be great to get your Bible out and take a look at these, and we can go through these scriptures together. People will often ask, well, you know, what is sin? Well, the Bible gives us a definition. 1 John 3 and verse 4, it says, "Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." That's what sin is. It's the transgression of God's law. And a lot of times people will talk about, you know, their version of the truth. Well, I feel this way, or I believe this, or I think this. But if we're going to look at God's word and let it give us God's definition of sin, this is that definition. Sin is a transgression of the law, and it's of God's law, the Ten Commandments. So we don't have to wonder about what sin is. God defines it. Sin is a transgression of the law, the breaking of the Ten Commandments. Now, transgression means an act that goes against a law, rule, or code of conduct, an offense. So it's doing something that goes against God's law. And remember, God's law is a law of love. His law is designed to help everybody. Keeping God's law doesn't hurt anyone. Breaking God's law, that does hurt everybody involved. And sin carries penalties. There are penalties for sin. And the Bible gives us some pretty stark examples of the penalties of sin. Notice this in 2 Peter 2, a few passages here. 2 Peter 2 and verse 4. It says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, or a place of restraint, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." And so here God reveals that a third of the angels sinned and became demons. They sinned, and they paid a pretty serious penalty for that. And the way they sinned, of course, was by rebelling against God's law of love. That's the very foundation of God's government and way of life. They went contrary to God's law of love. Now down in verse 5 of 2 Peter 2, it says, "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." So mankind also sinned and was destroyed in the flood, all except Noah and his family. And the point here is that worldwide sin brings worldwide destruction. And if you consider the sins sweeping the world today, well, what will the end result be? Well, global destruction. Christ prophesied that. You can look in Matthew 24 to see that. And the book of Revelation, of course, gives a time sequence to those prophecies. Mankind's sins are bringing the global destruction upon mankind. We are bringing destruction upon ourselves by rejecting God's law. And that's the truth. Now, that's a pretty negative thing to think about, I guess. The positive side is that when we keep God's law, we bring blessings. And even if society's breaking God's law, individually, we can keep God's law. I mean, Noah did, right? The whole society was going the other direction, but Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He kept God's law, and God spared him. God spared him. And so, of course, when we're looking at sin and the results of it, it is negative. But we have to take an honest look at sin and then realize the positive side, which is keeping God's law, keeping God's law. The Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course, which is a free course, is at thetrumpet.com, and I would recommend you sign up for that. It's a wonderful course. It says, later, The sins of Sodom and Gomorrah spread over the entire territory of those two cities. And so physical, fiery destruction came from God to the entire area and destroyed everything. So here we're looking at the result of sin. The angels sinned and became demons and are, you know, being judged for that. And then we see mankind, society sinned, and God destroyed them in the flood because they had to be destroyed because of their wickedness. It was getting so bad, except for Noah and his family. And then further down, we see the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. That destruction came about because of the sins of those areas. And of course, it's not popular today to talk about right and wrong, to talk about sin and the consequences of sin. But it's the word of God. It's the truth. If sinning against God brought destruction to the angels, to the world before the flood, and to Sodom and Gomorrah, won't sin bring the same destruction today? Well, of course. The angels, when they sinned, it was a worldwide sin, and it destroyed the earth. Now, why did it do that? Why was that the result? Well, notice the correspondence course again. It says this. God created the earth to be used, maintained, improved, and beautified. This use is regulated by God's government. When the angels rebelled against God's government, the preservation and development of the physical earth and all its original beauty and glory ceased. The result was physical destruction, decay, and finally darkness on the face of the earth. See, God's law regulated what happened on the earth, the way that it would maintain its beauty. And it would grow in development. Once that law and that government was cast aside, the result was destruction, global destruction. And we should be able to understand this pretty well. I mean, we can think of some physical examples that we'd be very familiar with. Man made certain cars to run on gasoline. Maybe you've had a situation like this. If you have a car that runs on gasoline, but if you put diesel in the tank instead of gasoline, what happens? Well, the car doesn't work, right? Why doesn't it work? Well, because it was made to run only on one type of fuel. You put the wrong fuel in there, the machine doesn't work. Pretty straightforward. God created the angelic realm and the physical earth and man to operate according to his law. There's only one way it operates. If we break that law, the creation breaks down and is destroyed. Now, our opinion or our preference, it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that God's law is in effect today and always will be. Society can decide to change what they think is right and wrong, but it doesn't change the truth of God. It doesn't change the truth of God. God's word reveals what God's law is. You know, I may want to run my gas-powered car with diesel, but my opinion or preference won't change the way the car runs. You know, I could really wish it ran on diesel or vice versa. But if I put the wrong fuel in, the vehicle won't run. My opinion, my preference, my hope, it doesn't have anything to do with it because the car was built to run one way. God's creation was built to run on his law and his government. There's no other way that it works. And so I think we all understand that in some physical examples, like, say, a car. But when it comes to God's law, well, people want to mess around with that. They want to change some things. And it just doesn't work. And the Bible's full of examples of the result of sin. Notice back in Genesis 1 and verse 2, right back at the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1 and verse 2, it says, "And the earth became," it should read, "without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." In the destruction of the earth, which again, it came from sin, we see a picture of what sin does. It destroys. It destroys. There was darkness. If we sin, our lives become the same. They become without form, void, and dark. You know, maybe it doesn't happen immediately when people sin. Sometimes it does, but it may not happen immediately, but eventually it does. Eventually it does. And then people say, "I wish I had never gone that path. I wish I had never done that." But then they're dealing with the results. God gives us a choice. We all have to make this choice. Will we live by his law or will we sin? That's the choice. And there's no There's no opting out of that choice. We all make the choice. Ignoring it is still making the choice. The Correspondence Course says, by now you might be wondering if God knew in advance that Lucifer and the angels under him would sin and cause this earthwide destruction that we just read about there in Genesis 1. It says, after all, doesn't God know everything? Well, the answer is no. If God were to decide to know in advance what choice they would make, he would have had to program their minds to do so and thus force them to make it. Instead, God gave these spirit beings, as he also gives all human beings, the power to think for themselves, to reason, to choose, to make decisions. Otherwise, they, and we ourselves as humans today, would be mere automatons doing what we were compelled to do. See, God didn't want the angels or mankind to just be robots or mere computers that are programmed to, you know, run a certain function. We have to make a choice. We have to choose what to do. Animals, they have instinct. They don't have the power of reason or decision-making power. They have instinct. They do what they instinctually do. There's been plenty of experiments over the years on that where, you know, birds were kept from making the nests that they always make for several, I guess, generations of birds. And then when they allowed them to have freedom again, they made the exact same nest because they just have instinct that God programs them to do it. But we have to make choices. Humans have to make choices. We have to make decisions because God is preparing us to be God beings in his family. That's what the gospel message is, the soon coming kingdom and family of God. The good news of that. And so we have to make a choice. We're impelled to make a choice. Are we going to live God's way or are we going to sin? And the Bible is full of examples of what happens when people obey God and what happens when they do not. And so it's just up to us whether or not we're actually going to look into the Word of God and believe it and then strive to obey God and follow through on that. That's the choice we have to make in our lives. Will we obey God or will we not? The first man, Adam, he had to make a choice and he made the wrong choice. And we see that here in Genesis 2, verses 15 through 17. It says, and the eternal God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the eternal God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die. Pretty specific, right? That wouldn't be all that difficult to understand. Eat of all these trees, don't eat of that tree. And so God is giving us this same command today. You know, now these trees today are symbolic for us, but it has to do with our decision-making. The Correspondence Course says, the tree of life represented God's gift of his Holy Spirit and begettal of immortal God life. It also pictured the way of God's government based on the spiritual law of God. Had Adam taken of the tree of life, he would have replaced Satan on the throne of the earth, restoring the government of God, empowered, influenced, and led by the eternal God. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil symbolized the way of the devil, the way of rebellion against God's government, the way of deciding for oneself right from wrong, good from evil. See, we do have to make a choice, but the choice we have to make isn't, well, what's right and what's wrong. God's already made that choice, and his word explains it. Our choice is whether we're going to follow his law or break it. When you look at society today, what you see, especially in a lot of social movements and a lot of changing of laws and so forth that regulate all sorts of human activity, man is doing this same thing where they're eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They're saying, well, we think that this is right and this is wrong. And they're changing it all the time. There's always a change and it's always getting worse where something that was forbidden years ago, well, we've decided as a society that it's okay now. Now we think it's okay to do this or to do that or do the other. It's eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Mankind is taking on that prerogative to decide right from wrong. And that's not a prerogative mankind has. God decides right from wrong. The choice we make is whether or not we're going to follow God's word. whether it's fashionable in society or not. That's irrelevant. We have to choose if we will obey God or decide for ourselves what is right and wrong. As a popular young politician recently said that social movements are the moral compass. They said social movements are the moral compass. So in other words, whatever the mass of people are doing, that's what we should do. Well, that's very wrong, first of all. God's law determines what we should do. But even that type of logic is so wrong in the light of history. You can look back not too long ago at Nazi Germany. Wasn't the social movement of that day Nazism? Wasn't the social movement of that day to eliminate the Jews? Did that make it right? Was that the moral compass? God's law is the moral compass. There's some very dangerous things being said today, and we need to make sure we're really, really building our lives on the Word of God, because mankind is saying some pretty outlandish things. God says His law is what we must follow. That's the moral compass. So who do we believe? A young politician or the Word of God? Well, we need to believe the Word of God, of course. The Correspondence Course says there are, broadly speaking, two ways of living, exemplified by the two trees in Eden. The one is outflowing love. We term this, for brevity and simplicity, the way of give. The other is the way of get. There are the two divergent ways of life, leading in opposite directions, producing opposite effects. Give and get. Mr. Armstrong did a great job of taking God's word and really expounding upon it, simplifying it in a way to where we could distill it down to these two ways of life that we're talking about, give and get. And Mystery of the Ages is a wonderful book that really explains the Bible. And that's free at thetrumpet.com. So if you don't have that, please get that, because it's a must read, and it really opens up the Bible to our understanding. There are two ways of life, give and get, you know, broadly speaking, and of course there's specific points within each of those, but broadly speaking, give and get. Those are the two ways of life. God's way is the way of give. It helps everybody. Satan's way is a way of get. It looks to get for the self. So Satan, here looking at Adam, he knew that Adam would replace him if he ate from the tree of life, if he obeyed God and used the power of God's Holy Spirit to develop the character of God. So what do you think Satan would do? Well, of course, he'd try to thwart that plan. Now, did he come to Adam and honestly tell him that he was out to destroy Adam? Did he go up to him and say, Adam, look, I don't want you to replace me, so I'm going to do everything I can to destroy you, and I want to make you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I want you to decide for yourself, because then I know you'll get into sin, and therefore you'll be destroyed, and I will continue to rule. Well, of course he didn't do that. He comes as an angel of light. Satan is subtle. And so he went about to subtly deceive Eve, and then, of course, Adam followed along in that. So, because if Satan came to Adam and told him his plan, Adam would have been on guard, and he would have fought against Satan's attack. But he didn't do that because, well, Satan was subtle. Satan went to Eve, and he lied to her. Notice this in Genesis 3, verses 1 through 6. And it's worth noting that Satan's a liar. That's what Christ said. He's a liar and a murderer from the beginning. He lies. He lied to them. He lies to us. Don't believe Satan. Believe the word of God. Genesis 3, verses 1 through 6, it says this, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the eternal God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden." And of course, Satan knew what the rules were, but he was trying to get a conversation going here, and she engaged in this conversation, which was a mistake. Verse 3 says, "But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." So Eve was showing a little bit of an attitude here, saying, well, you can't even touch it. If you even touch it, you're going to die. Which, of course, again, is showing a bit of an attitude there towards the command, a negative attitude. Verse 4 says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die." He lied to her. He says, "For God does know that in the days you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, so she looked at it, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, and she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And so what's really interesting about this is when you see there in verse 5, where Satan lies, and he says, well, your eyes shall be opened. Well, yeah, their eyes were open, but what were they opened to? They were open to Satan's way. They were open to evil. They were open to terrible things. Yeah, they were opened all right, but they weren't open to the truth. They were open to lies, to deception, to going the wrong way. Satan knows that you can qualify to be part of the God family. He knows that. And he knows he has no part in it. And so he works to deceive mankind away from obeying God and to make it look more appealing. You know, Eve looked at the tree. She said, oh, it looks good. Mr. Armstrong used to talk about that as the first scientific experiment. Well, it looks good. You know, seems okay. But they were rejecting the revelation of God. He said, don't eat it. Don't eat from that tree. That's what he said. And so we have to be very careful to make sure that we are following God's word. Because God does reveal things in his word that we don't know on our own. We have to believe him and trust him. But Satan wanted them to look at it for themselves and make their own decision. What seems good to you? And of course, what seemed good to them was sinning. They went the wrong direction and were deceived. Eve was deceived by Satan. And then Adam followed along. Notice 1 Timothy 2 and verse 14. Adam wasn't deceived, and we see this here. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 14, "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression." So Satan knew he could get to Eve, and he did, and then Adam followed along with Eve, though he was not deceived. The Correspondence Course says, "Soon after God's instruction, Satan subtly deceived Eve into disbelieving what God had taught. She took the forbidden fruit and gave some to Adam. By taking that fruit, Adam chose to willingly disobey God's command and rejected God's government over them. When Adam took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he appropriated to himself the prerogative of deciding what is good and evil, what is right and wrong, what is righteousness, what is sin. He relied wholly on himself. He rejected reliance on God and chose to rely on himself for knowledge, ability, and power. Adam rejected revealed spiritual knowledge from God that would have produced a happy relationship with God and fellow man. He rejected God's Holy Spirit, God's love, God's government, and eternal life. He disobeyed the explicit command of his Maker. Adam sinned, and he brought the penalty of sin upon himself and all his descendants." Well, it didn't take long, did it? You know, Cain murdered Abel. He had murder in his own family, and it didn't take long. It didn't take long. Well, again, that's what society is doing today, the same thing, deciding for themselves what's right and wrong. Just look at the way some of the laws change, even here in the United States, and you can look at other countries around the world as well. Some pretty terrible things are happening, and it's because mankind is deciding for himself what is right and what is wrong. Genesis 3 and verse 7, it says, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." Yeah, their eyes were opened, all right. The Correspondence Course says, "After Adam sinned, he and all his children after him were now receptive to the sway of Satan." See, that's what their eyes were open to, the sway of Satan. Satan, who is a spirit, began to work in the minds of Adam and Eve, even as God would have worked in their minds had they taken of the tree of life. As a result, Satan imparted to both their minds the attitudes of vanity, of selfishness, of guilt, of resentment, of authority. Those characteristics we call human nature, the carnal mind described in Jeremiah 17:9, comes from Satan the devil himself. Have you ever felt those emotions, those pulls? Well, every human has. Vanity, selfishness, get, resentment of authority. Those are very, very strong pulls. And we call it human nature, carnal nature. It's described in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Well, it's because mankind's eyes were opened to the sway and the influence of Satan. That's what Satan wanted. He wanted to get a foot in the door of their minds, and he did that. And once he got his foot in the door, he came through full force. What was the result of it? Look at Isaiah 59 and verse 2. It says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." Well, the majority of mankind since Adam has been cut off from God and his spirit, cut off from revealed knowledge. So that's what happens. Why is mankind today separated from God? Well, because of sins. Because of sins. Adam sinned, and mankind was cut off from the Holy Spirit, cut off from access to it, except for the very few God is calling. If you're listening to this program, there's a very good chance that God is calling you, and that you have an opportunity to learn more and to understand more and to grow more and to have access to God's Spirit. And of course, the Bible lays out specifically how that occurs, people repenting and becoming baptized, and that is laid out there in the book of Acts, and there's a lot of material about that at thetrumpet.com. And if you're interested in that, and if you haven't gone through that process yet, you can certainly send an email in to our personal correspondence department. You can find all of those addresses at thetrumpet.com or at pcog.org, and get in contact with a minister that could help you. We do see an example, though, of someone who did perfectly choose to obey God. You know, there's some negativity, certainly, when you think about the sins of mankind, but there is a perfect example, and that's Jesus Christ. You know, Lucifer failed to obey God. Adam failed to obey God. But the good news is Christ succeeded in obeying God. And in so doing, he qualified to replace Satan as the God of this world. The evil that we see, the sin and the results of sin, it's coming to an end because Jesus Christ did qualify to replace Satan, and the government of God is coming to this earth. And it's a wonderful, wonderful time that is ahead. So even though there is sin, and we do have to understand that, and we have to understand that there are negative results from it, and we have to understand that we have to choose to follow God and repent of sin, it's all leading to very good news, and that is the return of Jesus Christ and the end of Satan's broadcasting and sin forever. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for joining me. I'm Dwight Falk. If you'd like to listen to past episodes, you can find those at kpcg.fm and at thetrumpet.com. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.